Well, hello, good morning. I hope everything's going well your way. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM. And I'm the host of On the Air Today, Glenn Coble. And we'd love to have calls if you're interested in it. Today, 740-383-9944. I'm going to be talking most of the two-hour time period about three things that I think we need to talk about here in the United States. Two of them are things that we don't seem to have a lot of lately. Honesty and truth. I guess that's similar to each other, right? But also one of the things that we seem to have a surfeit of, stupidity. And I found this terrific open source article by, let's see, what it's called Voluntary Life is the name of the organization that posted this on the air. And it's an open source, so I'm allowed to play it for you. And it's a little confusing to follow, but I think it really is kind of pulls together some thoughts that I hadn't thought about, talking about the five laws of stupidity. We do have a lot of stupidity around, and stupidity is not necessarily what you think of. If you listen to this upcoming, it's a pretty short lecture, like 12, 13 minutes, something like that. If you listen to it, I think you'll find that the author of the article is calling stupidity something different than what you and I think of as stupidity. It's not you got a D in grade school, or you got an F in college, or, you know, it's not a grading type thing. It's more of a social stupidity. And we seem to have a lot of social stupidity right now throughout the United States. And I just thought you might be interested in this. And by the way, we wish James Anderson a wonderful vacation. He's not here today because he's on vacation with his wife and his lovely little son. And I'm glad he gets time to take off and get away from all the critters. Now, if I know James, he's out in the woods with those critters during his vacation, or he's at a lake rummaging around for tadpoles. Well, if you happen to hear this, James, I hope you and your lovely little family have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful vacation, and we'll talk to you next month as we do every... we always have James on the last Thursday of every month, and we'll do that again next month, so you won't miss out on too much. You'll miss out on today, but you won't miss out next month. And I do have some announcements that James has given us that maybe I'll read to you about what's going on out at the Tallgrass Trail and other places, other the natural places here in the county, excuse me. A little hiccup coming on, throughout this organization, throughout today, we're going to be talking about honesty, truth, and stupidity. All seem to run together. Honesty isn't necessarily the same thing as truth, and that's one of the things that we will be talking about. It also gives me an opportunity to finish my cup of coffee while you're listening to this lecture. And I call it a lecture, and it is pretty highfalutin, if you know what I mean. But follow it, and I think you'll get some interesting tidbits out of it. The whole thing won't be something you'll want to put to memory, but many of the things in it will cause you to go, that's an interesting point. And, I know people like that. It's just kind of interesting. The five laws of stupidity, and the organization that's putting this on is Voluntary Life. That's the name of the organization. You can find it online. Matter of fact, I think during the lecture, I think they give the address online. If not, I will remind you it's Voluntary Life, and you can go on YouTube and find all sorts of things from Voluntary Life. And most of the things are things that will make you go, that's an interesting point. Many of the things I had not thought of. And I've listened to several of their lectures, and I really enjoy them. When I was in college, I got a lot of F's. The reason why I got F's is I didn't go to class. If I went to class, I usually got an A or a B. I'm not totally stupid. But if I got bored, I quit going to class and stayed home and had a beer, or I stayed home and called up a girlfriend, or I slept. Or early in my college career, I went to football practice, but that didn't last very long. Boy, I tell you what, I had more splinters in my derriere from football sitting on the bench than anything else. 175-pound middle linebacker isn't called for by too many universities. I wish I weighed what I weigh now. I would have been a monster. Oh, well, we won't get into that. I just put a new battery in my weighing machine, and it told me something I didn't want to see. Isn't that always the truth? Maybe it would have been better if I just left the battery out and let it go dead. Oh, me. Well, anyway, you're listening to WWGH. The show is on the air, and I'm Glenn Coble. And like I said, we don't mind. We would love to have you call in. Now, when the lecture is going on, I won't take calls because I'll be doing the lecture. I'll be having the lecture go on. But after that, if you'd like to call in and tell me what you think, or if you'd like to tell me you think it stinks, or if you'd like to call in and wish me a happy birthday for tomorrow, I thought it was quite interesting that Adam's birthday is on the 1st. So happy birthday, Adam. We are both Gemini, I guess. That means we have two sides of us, I guess, if you believe in that sort of thing. But I don't, but that's okay. It's kind of fun to look at. How many times have you ever gone to the... what do they call those? Where you look up your birth sign and it tells you what you are. And you go, yes, I'm just like that. Well, if you go back and you look at that, I bet you'll find that they could have said anything because it's so vague. It covers just about everybody under the sun. So anyway, it's kind of fun to read those things and say, oh yes, I'm that smart, or oh yes, I'm that handsome, or I'm such a good friend, that sort of type of thing, right? Oh well. All right, well, I'm going to let you listen to this this lecture, and I think the gentleman gives his name, so you won't have to. If not, I'll try to find out what the name of the lecturer is. But the name of the website is Voluntary Life. And the lecture is The 5 Laws of Stupidity. I hope you enjoy it. Whoop, I hit the wrong button, so you can't enjoy it. Hang on, I'll get it back. All right, no, I won't get it back. There, now I'm going to get it back. All right. Ready? Okay, here it goes.
Hi, it's Jake here. Welcome to The Voluntary Life. This week I want to share with you a very interesting idea that comes from an article called The 5 Laws of Stupidity. This is a theory of stupidity, and it's a theory about how stupidity and stupid people are the most dangerous people on the planet, and also about how easy it is to mistake stupidity for other things, and how much everyone underestimates the danger and impact that stupid people have on everyone else. This is an article that was written by an Italian economic historian, a guy called Carlo M. Cipolla. He wrote this article in the 1970s, and he died in the late 90s. And there's very little information about this guy online, apart from the fact that he wrote this article. But but I found it a very thought-provoking article. It's one of those articles that is written in a slightly humorous way, so the kind of way where the author could potentially claim that this was just them joking, but actually you can tell that he's making a serious point in the article as well. And I'll put a link in the show notes to the article so you can read it yourself, but I want to share with you the ideas in this article. So in the article, Carlos Apola puts forward this theory of stupidity, and he puts it forward as five laws. So I'll explain each of the laws, and then I'll finish by giving some of my own thoughts on the ideas. The first law of stupidity is that everyone underestimates the number of stupid people. And the idea here is that no matter how many idiots you think you are surrounded by, you are lowballing the estimate. And his argument is, the reason that you underestimate how many stupid people there are around you is because you're probably assuming that people are intelligent based on superficial and irrelevant criteria, like their job, their education level, their class, their race, whether or not they're eloquent, and other biases that you may have about assuming that if somebody is a certain way, that means they're not stupid. And he's arguing in this article that you're wrong. Those things are all irrelevant. So that brings us on to law number two of stupidity. And that is that the probability that a person is stupid is independent of any other characteristic. So the idea here is that every characteristic that you can imagine, whether it's gender, race, nationality, education level, income, any category you can imagine, is uncorrelated to whether or not a person is stupid. And Cipolla even says in this article, there are stupid Nobel Prize winners. So you can't predict whether a person's stupid or not by looking at any of these other characteristics that they might have. His argument is that there are stupid people in every walk of life, in every ethnic group, gender, class, profession, income level, anything you can imagine. And he goes on to argue that there's the same proportion of stupid people in any of these categories because it's uncorrelated to any of these categories. He makes the argument that he can't tell exactly how high that proportion is because everyone underestimates it all the time. But the main point is, you can't use these other criteria to determine whether or not someone is stupid. And that brings us on to law number three. And this is his idea that a stupid person causes losses to others without gains to themselves. So he's defining stupid behavior as a social thing, and he's saying it's about whether or not you cause losses to other people without benefiting yourself. So it's a social theory of stupidity, and it means that you can still be stupid if you are very good at, for example, mathematical calculations or pattern matching or lots of other things. You could be very good at all of these things, but you're still stupid if your behavior towards others involves losses to other people without you actually gaining. So in order to explain this idea, Cipolla creates this 2x2 matrix. So you have two variables and two different possible states of each variable, which gives you four possible outcomes. So just to explain these variables, so one variable is, are you causing benefits to other people or are you causing losses to other people? So that's the first variable, is your impact on others. Do you benefit them or do you cause them losses? And the second variable is, for yourself, are you benefiting yourself or are you causing losses to yourself? And if you combine those two, we get four different outcomes. So talking them through, first of all, you have people who benefit other people and themselves. And this is the win-win outcome, where your actions in the world not only benefit you, but they also benefit other people, and you are a net positive wealth generator in the world. And Cipolla calls these intelligent people. So it's a theory of intelligence based on your behavior, your social behavior. Are you engaging in win-win interactions? So that's the first one. What about the people who cause losses to other people but benefits to themselves? Well, Cipolla calls these bandits, and these are essentially criminals and thieves. If you imagine, when somebody steals, what they're doing is they're causing a loss to you and a gain to themselves. So that's the second type. And then if you imagine there's a third type, which is people who cause benefits to others and losses to themselves. And Cipolla calls these helpless people. And there are other words that I've seen used. He sometimes calls them naive people. The idea here is that this is people who get taken for a ride. They benefit other people, but at a loss to themselves. And then the fourth group is what he defines as stupid people. And these are people who cause losses to others without benefiting themselves. And his idea is that a lot of the time, they're just messing things up for other people without any particular benefit to themselves. But they're also really stupid people who not only cause losses to others, but actually harm themselves actively. So stupid people are either just messing things up for everyone else without any clear gain, or even messing things up for everyone else and actually harming themselves as well in the process. That's his theory of stupidity. That's what stupid behavior is. And of course, since this is four different outcomes from two variables, you can draw one of these 4x4 matrices that entrepreneurs love. And someone's done this. I've put it in the show notes. So you can see if you have on the x-axis loss or benefit to yourself, and on the y-axis loss or benefit to others, then in the top right-hand corner you have the intelligent people who benefit themselves and others. Then in the bottom right-hand corner you have the bandits who benefit themselves but cause losses to others. And then in the top left you have the helpless or naive people, or sometimes called hapless people, who benefit others but not themselves. And then in the bottom left quadrant you have the stupid people who harm others and harm themselves. I'll put that graphic in the show notes so you can see it. An interesting part of his law number three about defining stupid people is that he also assumes that stupid people are consistent in being stupid. In other words, they go through life constantly causing losses to other people without clear gain to themselves. So it's an interesting idea that he's putting forward that this is not just one-off behavior. There are people who are basically messing the world up through their stupidity, and they're consistent about it. So law number four of stupidity, according to Cipolla, is the idea that non-stupid people underestimate the danger of the stupid. And his argument is that non-stupid people constantly forget that at all times and all places and under any circumstances, to deal with and or associate with stupid people always turns out to be a costly mistake. And his argument here is that everyone underestimates just how dangerous stupid people are. Intelligent people underestimate it, but so do bandits and so do helpless people. And that brings us on to law number five. And this is the most interesting, I think. Stupid people are the most dangerous people on the planet. And as part of that law, a corollary of that is that stupid people are more dangerous than bandits. And the argument is that if you have someone who is a criminal, a bandit, who wants to gain for themselves by robbing you or by causing losses to you, that person is predictable because they are following incentives. And they may be unethical incentives. They may be doing something that is fundamentally wrong, but at least you can work out what they're likely to do because they have goals and they follow incentives. So bandits you can defend against because you can work out what a bandit might try and do to rip you off. The really dangerous thing about stupid people is that they mess things up for everyone else without clear gain to themselves. And that means they're not following incentives. They're just causing problems. So they're fundamentally unpredictable, and that makes them incredibly dangerous. Even more dangerous than the people who you would identify as the real villains in the world, stupid people are more dangerous than villains. So that's a summary of the article. As I said, I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to read the original, and I'll put a link to that graphic showing the 4x4 matrix of stupid people versus non-stupid people. It's a very interesting article, and I found it very thought-provoking. I like the idea of defining stupidity in terms of social behavior, because I have met very highly educated people who are very eloquent and articulate who are also stupid in the way that this article describes. And I think it's really important to bear in mind that if you walk into a room full of highly articulate, educated people, there are going to be destructively stupid people in that group, and you shouldn't assume that just because people are highly educated or articulate that they're not stupid. And by the same token, if you walk into a room of people who are ignorant, who are uneducated, you shouldn't assume that they're destructively stupid in the way that Cipolla defines in this article, because the two are uncorrelated. You can have ignorant people who are not stupid, and you can have highly educated people who are stupid. The idea that stuck with me most in this article, that I've really been mulling over, is this idea that stupid people are the most dangerous people in the world because of their unpredictability. Cipolla argues in this article that we can do nothing about the stupid. And he makes the basic argument that you can't teach stupid people. You can teach ignorant people and they can learn, but his argument is that there are people who cause havoc for everyone else regardless of learning the facts. And his basic idea is that with stupid people, they just throw a spanner in the works for everyone else, and you just basically have to avoid them. And in the end of the article, he makes some comments about what this means for society. This is where the fact that he was a historian came in. He starts talking about how much impact do stupid people have on the rise and fall of civilizations. And basically his argument is the stupid people are always there. They're not what determines things collapsing. What determines whether or not societies are able to flourish is how the non-stupid people behave. And basically, what proportion of the non-stupid people are behaving intelligently, involved in win-win interactions with each other, and what proportion of them become bandits and start doing win-lose interactions with other people. And he makes the point that once the non-stupid people stop kind of containing the impact of stupid people, everything goes to hell. So essentially, for society to thrive, his argument is you've got to keep the non-stupid people acting ethically, acting in an intelligent way, which is win-win. His argument is that although you have villains, or bandits as he calls them, people who are out to benefit themselves by robbing others, those people can cause enormous damage because they can lead stupid people in bad ways. Also, they can just unleash the force of stupidity, which can wreck things for everyone else. I don't think this idea is entirely foolproof. I'm still mulling it over myself, and I do see some problems with this idea. I mean, you can get down to nitpicking about, well, how do you define whether a stupid person really isn't benefiting themselves? Because, I mean, you could say, for example, that a suicide bomber is doing something completely stupid because it harms other people and it also harms themselves. But then from that suicide bomber's own perspective, they obviously believe that they benefit from killing themselves. So they could have their own subjective gains in mind. And I do see some other problems with the arguments. And as I said, I get the sense that he was partly joking around by writing this article, but that he was definitely making a serious point as well. And it's one that I'm mulling over. I found it a very thought-provoking read. And I think the idea of thinking about the difference between bandits and stupid people, between people who are truly evil and out to cause harm to others in order for their own gain, thinking about the difference between them and people who just wreck things for everyone else without clear gain to themselves, that is a fascinating thing to consider, and to consider just how dangerous stupid people are. And also to think about his argument that he provocatively puts forward, that there are way more people who behave in this socially stupid way than you think. That's an interesting idea too. So I hope you found that interesting, and I hope that gives you food for thought. Don't forget to check out my books. I have two books you can get on Amazon.
All right. Well, what do you think of that? It'll get you to think, won't it? It'll force you to think, because some of those things I agreed with, some of them I did not agree with, but most of them I did agree with them. Now, it is a completely different way of looking at stupid and smart and that sort of thing. Later in the next session of my show, we're going to talk about how can you change stupid people, or can you change stupid people? We seem to be so filled, America seems to be so filled with people right now that should have their picture above the definition of stupid people. We have so many people now that the only thing, well, some of them are bandits that believe that they're going to change things so that they get something out of the world, while not giving a, and what is that term? Tinker dam. There you go. Not giving a tinker dam about other people. We have an awful lot of those people right now. And they don't even seem to be concerned. They know they're that way, and they don't seem to be concerned. Our former president said that those type of people are smart. People that make a lot of money and don't care about other people. They're the smart people. Well, this particular lecture would say that those people are what he called robbers, or what else did he call them? There's a couple terms. But those are not necessarily the smart people. Also, he pointed out that type of person can lead other people, especially the ones that don't care what they're doing. They can lead them to hurt the people that are trying to, the smart people that are trying to do good for others as well as do good for themselves. I just find it very interesting and very poignant to the time that we're in right now. The time that we're in is fraught with lots of people who are trying to get theirs and get out. You know, the good thing about turning 76 tomorrow is that I won't have to live with those people too much longer. I can relax, and hopefully I will not have to deal with too many people like that. My children will, though, and my grandchildren, which is one of the things that drives me anymore. The four different types of people is quite interesting. While I was listening to it the first time, I went through and what am I? And I really believe that most of us have a significant part of at least two of those groups. I know a lot of people that sit on the couch, don't do anything for anybody else, and don't do anything for themselves. Those are what he would call the stupid people. But I also know an awful lot of people that are only looking out for themselves. They want to get themselves ahead. They want to get the big cash. They want to get you move forward, and don't care who they step on to do it. And those would be the bandits. The outlaws, the people that he kind of puts in the middle there. And then I don't think everybody is altruistic on everything they do. Nor do I think that everybody is totally ignorant on everything they do. Most people I know have somebody that they want to further that person's I don't know, fortunes, you know, a grandchild or a wife or a sister or something like that. And so therefore they don't fit completely into that totally ignorant thing. They are trying to help somebody. Now, how much effort they put into doing that is another story. So therefore we have all sorts of shades of gray and purple and pink. And I think there are a lot of people that are all over the place on that spectrum. That's the truth. That's the problem with trying to pigeonhole anybody. No one is exactly 100% all that way, any way that you're talking about. I constantly have to stop myself and say, hey, I'm sure that person has children that he's very nice to, and he's lovely, and even though he is a jerk to everybody else I know, or she is. So you have to, don't lock people into little pigeonholes. Because nobody fits in a pigeonhole. Even pigeons don't fit in a pigeonhole. They fly away. Boy, I saw some beautiful blue jays yesterday out in my backyard. You know, that's a great thing, and I'm diverging from the lecture, and you've had enough of that lecture, right? We will talk about it a little bit more when I have a really short lecture about whether you can change a stupid person. I think you'll find this even more interesting and kind of humorous. But let's talk about what's going on outside. We usually are talking about critters with James Anderson, and I've got all sorts of critters in my backyard. Did I tell you that my doggie and I went for a walk last week, and as we were walking along, my doggie started growling and kind of quietly barking at something in the darkness, and we looked over, and there's a deer standing in a backyard or a side yard of a house that we walk by. And we live in downtown, well, not downtown, but we live in town. We live in a neighborhood where there are lots of houses and lots of cars, and the deer is just standing there munching on something, looking at us. Didn't move, other than ears twitching and whatever he was munching on. We kept going. We didn't want to bother him or her. I couldn't tell which because it was dark. And anyway, nature is wonderful. At least I find it wonderful. And that's something maybe you can help you get off the couch so you can not be one of those stupid people, right? Get off the couch and go out and help somebody. Get off the couch, go out and help yourself. Go for a walk. We walk, my doggie and I walk 5 times a day, about 10 to 15 minutes each time. I'm pretty sure that helps me. I'm not sure how much it helps me. Hadn't made me lose any weight, but I'm sure it helps my joints stay a little bit more limber, and it helps my mental attitude because I get to watch my doggy do silly things. he will go smell the strangest smells. But anyway. And then, as I think I've mentioned many times before, we sit out in my backyard and we watch. We've had lots of visits from Blue Jays and Cardinals. I'm pretty sure they're the same couples in both times, or all the times. And that just makes backyard living wonderful. Hey, I got a really neat thing for those birdies. I got a bird bath, which I thought was cool. Yeah, I know it's a home for mosquitoes, but I got this bird bath, and I found a solar fountain. It's a little round fountain that sits in your bird bath, and it shoots. I adjusted it so it shoots up about an 8-inch stream of water into the air. And you can sit and listen to the water falling in back into the water. And it doesn't cost anything. It's all solar. And, well, it might cost a little because I have to add water occasionally because it evaporates, but hardly anything. And we had a bird come to the bird bath the other day, and he was just, it was a robin, he or she was just totally enjoying splashing that water on himself or herself. And now I'm told that this type of fountain and bird bath is attractive to hummingbirds. But I was going to ask James if he came in today, why have I not seen any hummingbirds? Maybe I'm not looking in the right places. Now I do have some purple flowers that are coming up in my perennial garden, and I'm guessing that these purple flowers will attract hummingbirds. And we've had hummingbirds who live in our arborvitae out front. I think I'm pronouncing that correct. Little tiny, well, most hummingbirds are pretty tiny. I think I read an article about hummingbirds that said the largest hummingbird is around 6 to 8 inches long, and he does not live in the United States. He's pretty big as a hummingbird. These are maybe at maximum 3 inches long, probably not even that, but it's great fun to watch. Nature is so wonderful. Why not enjoy it? Why not help other people enjoy it? That's kind of why we did, why I've done in our backyard that I have, is that our neighbors around our backyard, they go out in their back. We have one neighbor that has a fire pit, and we have another neighbor that goes out in the backyard with her giant black dog and walks around. We have another neighbor that mows his grass all the time. he's a good steward of his lawn, and I know he comes over and looks in my backyard. As a matter of fact, I've told him anytime he needs any herbs, he can come over and pick what he needs, and he has done that in the past. And that's kind of why I did the backyard. Also, I'm not making money at it. I'm not even saving myself any money at it. It cost me a lot of money to grow some herbs that my wife and I only use a smattering of throughout the year. But it's kind of fun. And then you can break the sage off and smell it, and it's lovely smell. And I have mint and sage and parsley, and what else? What other herbs do I have growing right now? I got my very first asparagus popped up. I have a little asparagus fern that is growing where I planted 3 asparagus plants. Unfortunately, I only have one so far. I'm hoping the other 2 will pop up. I'm really struggling right now with strawberries. My strawberries have not come alive. I bought them from a company, one of the local companies. I bought them bare rooted, and I soaked them like I was supposed to and put them in the dirt like I was supposed to, and we have not seen any indication of life. So I went out and I put seeds all around where they're going to come up, if they ever do come up, of all different types of flowers. So I'm gonna if I don't have strawberries, I'm gonna have flowers. Or maybe the dirt's so bad. I bought it from a local big box store, and it doesn't seem very good, but it was supposed to be potting soil, and the only thing it's done is turn into a layer of cement on top. But I've broken that up, though. So hopefully I will have... I'll have to ask Dr. Marilyn Chambers. I'll have to ask her what I'm doing wrong next month when we have her on. I think she comes on in the second week, or is it the first week? I'll have to look that up anyway. You know, we've been talking about gardens with her. And what else? Well, we're getting close to the end of the hour. Next hour, I will put this Try to Change Stupid People video or audio on. It only lasts about 6 minutes, so it's about half as long as the other one. But it's kind of interesting how it identifies stupid people. Now, do you think of yourself as a stupid person? Sometimes I think of myself as a stupid person, but most of the time I think of myself as a smart person. I'm stupid when, you know, I can't remember somebody's name, or I'm stupid when I don't remember how to plant a certain plant that I know I've looked up several times. I know I'm stupid when I try to memorize lines if I'm going to be in a play and I can't memorize the lines. I'm not sure that's the type of stupid we were talking about in today's lecture, but I can identify with being stupid at times. And we all have different definitions of stupid, don't we? My kids have been stupid so many times I can't count them, but they're really not stupid. They're just unaware, is a probably a better thing. And sometimes I'm unaware that they're not being unaware. Have you ever done that? You know, you get angry at your kid or your grandkid because they're doing something that annoys you, and then you find out why they're doing it, and it's a good reason why they're doing it, and then you really do feel a little bit on the stupid side. You're listening to On the Air, and I'm Glenn Coble. We're kind of shooting the breeze today about honesty, stupidity, truth, that sort of thing, and trying to find our way in life. There's no sense in not trying to find your way. One of the things I've done as I've gotten older is be more introspective of myself, trying to find out why I tick. So that I can pass on to my kids and grandkids what not to do as they get older. And one of the things that I did do, which was I ran for office twice, I'm going to tell my kids to do it. One of the things that my wife told me about yesterday, I kind of went off on the people that ignore, that keep saying we can't do anything about shooters and guns and that sort of thing. I kind of went off on that, and I really got lambasted by my wife because she was afraid that somebody would come and knock at our door and try and do me harm. I think we have to, one of the reasons why I ran for office is I think we have to give that concern up. That's what a lot of the Germans were concerned about in World War II. They didn't say anything about the concentration camps because they knew that they were going to get in trouble if they did. Now, I understand that, and but at my age, there's not too much you can do to me that's going to make me terribly concerned about what happens to me. Now, what happens to my kids and my grandkids is completely different, and I'm sure you feel that way too. I'm pretty sure our audience, my audience, is older, and I'm sure that we can relate, you and I, about that sort of thing and how important family is. And maybe we can be a smart person and do good for our family, which will do good for us, right? All right. Well, we've got about a minute left, and I will come back after about a 15-minute break, and we'll talk a little bit more about honesty, stupidity, and truth. And I'll put on the video or the audio about trying to change stupid people. And in the Swap Shop, as you know, Swap Shop is not very strong right now. In Swap Shop, we're going to go over a lot of trivia questions about Memorial Day, which is coming up. There's one reason to celebrate Memorial Day, and the second reason is it's always right next to my birthday. So, some people think I'm crazy about their birthday. I really don't care much about the birthday. All we do is have a special dinner. That's all that we do in my house for birthdays. But 15 minutes from now, we'll be back, and we'll be talking about honesty, stupidity, and truth. You're listening to Glenn Coble here on a on the air.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been...